Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
I know many of you love John Boy Media, and one part of John Boy Media, Talkin' Jake, a.k.a. Jake Story Alley, joining us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Jake, how's it going?
Stacy, what's going on? I'm excited. Big Mariners-Yankees series. I'm having flashbacks to 01. How we doing?
Fantastic. We're doing great. Jake, how old were you in 2001?
I was 11. I don't know. I wasn't sharp, but I was right. There, you know?
Yeah, no, totally. I feel you, man. I feel you. So obviously we're really excited about this series because it's easy to view those high, you know, ranked teams in the American League like a nice measuring stick for the Mariners. Though, Jake, I got to be honest, a win in this series would be huge for the Mariners. This is a team that you're punching up to, not necessarily punching down when you're Seattle. But what's the perception of the Mariners from the outside? Like, how do you see this team?
So, I, you know, as you guys probably know, I feel like it's been a tale of two seasons. I feel like the car never got out of the garage for a little bit. They were waiting for it to go. And then kind of that Angels brawl, the Mariners have gone since then. So, and I'm happy for them because, man, so much young talent. And they went out this offseason. They got Robbie Ray. They did the Jesse Winker trade. And Robbie Ray was doing his thing. Winker got off to a cold start. Now that he's going and Mitch Haniger's back, I mean, when you look at the Mariners roster compared to a lot of other teams, they're very real. And, I came in hot a little bit there, but the Mariners haven't had the most recent success compared to a lot of franchises. But that lineup, top to bottom, is there. The young pitching, I mean, that's really the question mark in my head. But they're all good. It's just sometimes it takes a little while to come into your own or – let's see what they look like come October. And that bullpen impressed me so much in the last Yankees-Mariners series. I mean, Sewald, Munoz, Swanson, those three can end a game instantly. So I truly love the Mariners. They have the star now and Julio. I know he'll be out for this series. But the Mariners are so real, and it's awesome. I don't have to tell you guys, but it feels like the city has mm-hmm. been waiting for, like, this team to come along.
Now, Jake, is it going to sting watching Luis Castillo pitch in this series, knowing your Yanks missed out on him?
The answer to that is yes. we had Frankie Montas make his debut yesterday, and we're not judging it. It was his first start. He, he actually came off the bereavement list. He hadn't pitched in a long time. We're going to put that in our rear view for now. More importantly, Castillo's awesome. He's so much fun. He now has embarrassed the Yankees at the stadium twice this year. Jealousy is what you're hearing from me right now.
Fine.
Jake, the Yankees, they had that start you mentioned by Frankie Montas, and then Jordan Montgomery comes in and dominates them now that he's a member of the Cardinals. Over here in Seattle, we always kind of look at Yankees fans as just so intense about their team. I don't know if you've heard this clip, but it's from a Yankees fan on TikTok talking about the end of the series against the Mariners where Gerrit Cole got shelled.
Today was the first time in 3 years my blood pressure has been normal. And guess what happens? Gerrit Cole gives up 6 runs in the first inning to the Seattle Mariners.
How are Yankees fans holding up right now in the midst of their coldest stretch of the season?
I see you guys found my TikTok.
I was going to say, do you know this man?
Yeah, I was like, yeah, no, I don't know who that guy is.
Yeah. Is he from your mom or dad's side of the family?
Yes, is the answer to that.
Yes.
It's both ways over here. I mean, Yankee fans are the best and the worst. he just displayed a little bit of that. Honestly, you guys coming in and being like, we're excited to play the Yankees right now, it actually sent a little fear in me because we're in it. First five-game losing streak of the season for the Yanks. And, you know, they were playing so well early on. And baseball's baseball. Like, we knew this streak was coming. But there's a little bit of, like, the August. Like, Rizzo sat out last series, and he had a quote saying, like, you know, if it was playoffs, I'd play. And, hey, we're going to be in the playoffs, and you want Anthony Rizzo for the playoffs. But as a fan, especially, you really don't like five-game losing streaks. So I'm really interested to see how they come out. I mean, they sweated through three games in St. Louis in August and lost against their ex-teammate. And now they're going to Seattle, a good team that this series means a lot to them. That, yeah, I mean, I got to be honest. Like, the current stretch the Yankees are in, I'm a little nervous. And you need Cole in that second game. He needs to out-duel Castillo, because if not, you're going to hear a lot more TikToks like that.
Yeah, I feel like it's that, I don't know where the movie's from, maybe Curtis, you do, but James Franco with the noose around his neck when he turns and he goes, first time. I feel like that's every Mariners fan turning to Yankees fans in a losing streak. Oh, first time? Yeah, we were no hit within a span of less than 2 weeks last year.
Yeah, twice.
Yeah. It's tough.
Thanks for inviting us to the party. I appreciate it.
Hey, man, it's great. It's great. When everything is a win, it feels pretty good. Speaking of losing to a former teammate, what was the Joey Gallo experience like?
You know what? I'm still processing, man, because it was tough. I mean, statistically, you can chop it up as one of the worst hitters the Yankees franchise has ever seen. And I believe in baseball. I believe in sports and like the beauty of it. So there's part of me that wants to see him go to the Dodgers and be an absolute stud for them. There's also part of me that, you know, winning covers up a lot of things in sports. That's one of the generic lines I truly believe in. And, you know, some of the exit lines I just didn't love. Like, Yankee fans are tough. You know, they can be. They're passionate. But also, you know, because the team was winning, there was a couple spots Joey Gallo came up, you know, in June, July, where it was like, the crowd is chanting Joey Gallo. They wanted it for him. You know, Italian guy, you know, Yankees ties, Joey Gallo. The fans, they were tough, but they also gave leash and they really wanted it to work. So at this point, it's you know, after a hot day, one of these hot August days, like the first thing you'll do anything to get a shower and like reset. That's kind of where I got to with Joey Gallo. So, hey, good luck to you. But yeah, we're good over here as well.
Jake, on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, you've got Aaron Judge together one of the best offensive seasons we've seen in recent memory. First off, what's it like watching him put up the numbers that he's doing this year? And do you think he's back in New York next season?
I'll start with how he's playing. he's playing incredibly. I mean, just bringing up the stat, he's got a 43 in the home run column. Like, if he did that for a year, that's an incredible season. It's August 8th, and we got an extra week because of the lockout to start the year. So he's on pace for the I'll phrase it this way because it keeps all the steroids questions out. He's on pace for the American League home run record. So that's insane. Insane, and that should be cherished by baseball people. And whenever I get the chance to talk about Judge, I just want people to know that he's an all-around baseball player. He's moved over to center field this year and played a really good center field. He's hitting 301. Like, he's all around. His arm, I hope he gets to uncork one while we're out in Seattle because he has a cannon attached to his arm. He's an all-around baseball player. And the fact that he's doing it in his contract year, good for him. Will he be back with the Yankees? Up until this point, I kept saying maybe they'll trade for Soto and that'll be their Judge insurance. I think that's out the window now. So, yes, Judge will be a Yankee. Steve Cohen definitely isn't going to throw $500 million at him, and Aaron Judge will be a Yankee. Yeah.
Tell us a bit about who we're going to see on the mound for you guys tonight.
So let's see, we've got, it's Gilbert versus Tyone. I love, Jameson. He's been awesome to us. Really cool story too. If people don't know, I mean, double Tommy John, he also had a cancer scare and he's in his contract year. He's run into a little bit of funk of late. He's had some up and down starts. When he's good, it looks boring. When he's bad, you're like, why isn't there more? So I'm hoping for a very boring late night tonight where Jameson Taillon is going six innings, zero earned runs. But I also, you know, we do all of baseball now with our talking baseball stuff and Jim's breakdowns and everything. I love Logan Gilbert. I could watch him pitch all day. So I'm getting pretty energized for tonight's start.
The Mac and Jack's text line wants to know, do you plan on staying up late to watch the entire game?
Good question.
You know, East Coast start times at 10 p.m. first pitch.
Here's what I'll say. When we first started doing this, it was a no-brainer, right? If the game gets ugly tonight, had a little bit of a long weekend, got a long week ahead, I'm going to calculate. I'm going to calculate a little bit. I'll be honest with the people. But, no, it's a Yankees-Mariners game. It is Castillo-Cole tomorrow. You know what? Yanks go up big, maybe like 24-0 in the second, and then I'll go to bed.
Fantastic. He is Jake Storiale, a.k.a. Talkin' Jake, at Talkin' Jake of John Boy Media. Jake, thanks so much for taking the time, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Good luck. How about that?
Yeah, thank you. Let me tell you what, Curtis.
Thanks, guys.
Those, like, New York Italians, very different from the Italians that I grew up around, a.k.a. my family.
Uh-huh.
It's just a different world that I don't understand.
Yeah.
And
you don't go over to your Nona's house every Sunday and eat pasta together?
Yeah,
and,
no, I don't mention
the whole
other,
family?
I don't mention other Italians. It's just a weird, like, East Coast is wild, man. I love it.
It is.
I love it so much. All right, that was Jake Storiale of John Boy Media. I know many of you love their stuff.
We didn't have time
their affiliation
for this, but my view of Yankees fans in recent years has been very clouded by the show Desus and Mero that was on Showtime, where those two guys are diehard Yankees fans. Unfortunately, that show wrapped in
also Knicks fans though.
Yeah, so Knicks fans.
Like, they make up for it.
Where like it's just. They are in your face about their fandom, you know, just 27 rings.
Yeah.
Like that's their comeback for everything. And it's just like, it's so annoying how they parade themselves around, but it's also like, what can you say to that?
Nothing. I actually like it. So it annoys me, but I also like, I wish that fandom here was more like that. Like I wish
just
that
loud.
I wish that there was an aspect of Pacific Northwest culture that was more East Coast culture. And I know that sounds wild because so much about the East Coast is so obnoxious, but I'm sorry, like being able to have people be in your face watching, for instance, Mets fans watching Edwin Diaz take the field to that, like I'm like, there would not be that here in Seattle.
Well, his last year in Seattle he had the same entrance music that he does right now,
but
with the kind of
attention that it's getting, with the fan reaction,
yeah,
with every like it's just
every game
culture.
It goes viral.
The baseball culture is different.
It
not
is.
Just on the East Coast. I mean, it's...
Well, we asked Jake about the five-game losing streak that the Yankees are on right now, and you could hear it in his voice. He's like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Meanwhile, the Yankees are, what, 30 games over...
They're
31 games over 500. They're 70-39 on the season.
They're worried about, are we going to win a World Series? Not, are we making the playoffs? That's what he's worried about. Oh, are we the best team in baseball? I don't know. Like, what's this going to mean? Right? Like, there's
Must
no...
Must be nice.
Yeah, the Mac and Jack's text line says we should yell 20 years, lean into it.
21 years. Going up.
I think we just lean into it, man. Yeah. I think that's fine. I like that. All right, let's get to headline rewrites.
Extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacey.
We have nothing to brag about, Stacey, says the Mac and Jack's text line. You're wrong. Amazing seafood.
Yeah. Incredible. They'll throw it at you if you walk around. He mentioned 01. We didn't counter with 95, but that looks, that's kind of sad.
Yeah.
When all of us were like five,
well, he's
six
our
years
age,
old.
So it would have been bad. I think it's better that we didn't. Yeah. I think it's best that we leaned into kind of like the, no matter what, if we take one of three, we're still feeling fine. You guys are the ones that have to worry, not us.
Headline, yeah, we're playing with house money,
that's,
I think, over
thing.
The next three days. Headline number one, the Seahawks held their first scrimmage over the weekend, and Drew Lock had the standout performance of the two quarterbacks. So what is the real headline?
Why is Geno
I just took
Smith-
Brady's job. What am I
know.
Doing?
Sorry, yeah, Brady.
I had a whole thing
Brady,
lined
you,
up.
You Brady. Take it.
I was going to be like, we're not talking about the Seattle Mariners.
Oh, Brady had the
I think I took it because that's normally my job yeah. on this show is to read the headlines. Brady, I'll let you... What, pretend the
pretend
last minute never
happen.
Happened.
Okay, okay.
Right.
Brady, let's get to headline rewrites.
Okay, the Seahawks held their first scrimmage over the weekend, and Drew Lock had the standout performance of the two QBs. What's the real headline?
Incredible.
Wow, amazing.
Caveman.
Why is Geno Smith still getting all the first-team snaps?
Million-dollar question
yeah.
right now. Yeah, because, look, if Drew Lock is making throws like a starting quarterback, and he's... taking snaps like a starting quarterback. He's got stat lines that look like a starting quarterback. Maybe he is a starting quarterback. But we mentioned he got off to, what, the 12 of 12 start
Geno
in the mock game.
I don't want to make it sound as though Geno looked bad. Like, I feel like in saying, oh, Drew Smith played well and was the better of the two, both quarterbacks struggled in the second half. Secondly, Geno was efficient in his first drive. Like, he was fine. The thing is that I go back to what Brady Henderson of ESPN said with us on Friday. There was nothing that Geno did to substantially separate himself from Drew. If anything, the opposite was true, where you were wondering, like, what's Drew Lock look with a little more time with the ones? Do you, you know, like, what's he, your curiosity is piqued.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, that was the case. And so what Brady was saying is how I felt leaving that mock game, which is, if there's nothing he's doing to substantially separate himself, why is he getting 100% of first-team reps?
Remains to be seen. You look at it, the point I was going to make with Drew Lock's stat line, he finished 18 of 27, but he started 12 of 12, which means he finished 6 of 15 in the mock game, which that's not a good.
Yes.
That's
no,
not good at all.
Both had a sloppy second half. Drew had misses late in the game. Like, don't get me wrong. I feel like, and I keep seeing, for instance, this isn't too slight a texter who asked this question. But saying, hey, I said that Drew struggled with a lot of the deep balls. And they said, well, you know, maybe not having the deep ball will keep the offense on the field longer and make the defense, you know, able to catch their breath a little more. And it's like, yeah, if you're completing passes, I don't want to make it sound like you're trading in one great quarterback with Russell Wilson for another great quarterback who's got a different style. The offense has not looked objectively better without Russell Wilson. That's just not been the case. The conversation is instead, while you look at these two guys, Drew and Geno, to kind of hold the fort down until you find your next quarterback, which one deserves the starting role? That's the conversation we're having. To me, the conversation is not who's the next Russell Wilson. Because to be frank, I'm just telling you guys what I'm seeing. I have not seen anything from this offense or from these two that has made me think, oh, they found that guy.
Headline rewrites.
Brad, the Storm honored Sue Bird throughout Sunday, which was the final regular season game of her career. What's the real headline?
But why limit that honor to Sunday? Text line, by the way, pointing out that I said Drew Smith.
You're just combining the two.
Here's the thing. When you say words enough for 20 hours a week,
meld together.
They just gradually melt together. By the way, someone else said, if we, the Mariners, won 27 rings, they'd say it all the time. I don't think, guys, we should wait. I think if we make wild card,
wild card, Bird!
Just no matter what, if they're swept in the wild card, I'm still going to claim wild
card. Oh, yeah. If they still make it to the wild card round and they're selling merch, I'm buying a wild card shirt.
God.
Or I'm buying a wild card hat. Something
yeah.
like that.
Oh, done. It's game over.
But
I'm not recognizing any other team that was in the postseason. It's just the Mariners.
Sue Bird, though. Did you see that at Climate Pledge Arena yesterday, during the tribute video where they had all sorts of luminaries, all sorts of mm-hmm. athletes say their congratulations, that when Russell Wilson congratulated Sue Bird, Russ was booed
yeah.
on the twin jumbotrons.
Look, guys, here's the thing about Russell Wilson and what makes him so complicated. Is Russell Wilson exceptionally likable? No. Is Russell Wilson an exceptional player? Yes. That's what makes his legacy kind of complicated here in Seattle. He's the best quarterback that this franchise has ever had. Ever. And I think that it is possible to recognize that both of those things are true, that he was an exceptional player who was an exceptional quarterback for this franchise, and that it will be exceptionally difficult to replace him. And I think that because people don't like him or feel betrayed by him, they so quickly want to move on that they look at it like, oh, Russell, he did us dirty. We're going to find the next guy. He's not special. Make no mistake, you can think, oh, man, Russell Wilson, I hate that you left. I hate that you forced your way out, and still recognize, and I hate it because you were good.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's, again,
that's what stings the worst,
can be salty
is that he's
about
still
Russ.
A talented quarterback.
Yeah, you can be salty about him. I'm not getting on you for that, but, like, I think I've seen a lot of conflating. I don't like what he did with he's not good.
Also, I think there's a time and place for that. At a retirement ceremony for Sue Bird.
Yeah, make it about
probably
Sue.
Probably not. It's about Sue that day.
Yeah.
Honor her. You don't have to cheer Russ, and you don't have to like what he says, but, like, look, yesterday was about Sue Bird, mm-hmm. not about Russell Wilson. And, look, Seattle fans are partly to blame for that, for why yesterday was kind of made about Russ and
yeah.
not Sue.
Yes, make it about Sue. Can I also say, you aren't really going to get a gauge for fans booing Russ because the Broncos are going to take the field as a whole together. The team takes the visiting team takes
yes.
the field together. I was wondering the other day what it'll be like if, like, Quandre Diggs picks off Russell Wilson, especially in the first quarter when people are hyped, right? Especially midway through the first when people are finally sitting in their seats. I just wonder what that environment's going to feel like. I think the press box will be shaking if that happens, of course.
Headline rewrites.
All right, and last up, the NFL will emphasize illegal contact fouls this year. What's the real headline?
The rule specifically targeting Browns quarterbacks. No illegal contact, ugh. You guys. Stop it. No, illegal contact actually penalizes defensive players. And no surprise here, while the league has focused on penalties that have penalized offensive players, like offensive holding a couple years ago, for the most part, they have tended to focus on plays that penalize defensive players while allowing a bigger likelihood of completion for quarterbacks. Because it's a quarterback league, it's a passing league, quarterbacks sell jerseys and touchdowns get eyeballs on the TV screen. And that is what the league is always trying to do. I feel bad for defensive players, man. I'd be heated.
Every single year. Every single year there is a new rule that comes out in favor of the offense. And I can only imagine how Dave Wyman is driving into work today, hearing this news, or he's maybe heard it prior to his drive in, because that is somebody that knows. You know yeah. how I rail against East Coast bias?
Oh.
When yes. Dave Wyman
yeah.
hears a new rule change that favors the offense, he also does the oh.
Yeah. How about
classic?
Classic.
Offensive side of the ball bias.
Quarterback bias.
Quarterback.
QB bias. It stands for Q bias. 253, I'm confused as to when Russell became unlikable. The team traded him and he went along with it. What am I missing? Seattle fans were singing his praises only a year or so ago. 253, I think it started when there were, first of all,
it was the list.
I think it's multifaceted. It really started with the list. I think that too many people think that when Russ married Sierra, he became Hollywood. Russell Wilson was always
Hollywood.
Russell Wilson. Sierra has nothing to do with how Russell Wilson appeared to
yes.
you at the end. Having covered Russell Wilson for the bulk of his career, Russell Wilson has always been exactly as he is, which is interesting. He's a flawed, interesting, fascinating kind of person. Like, there are parts of him that are really cool and parts of him that are really weird and just unique. Like, I've never covered anyone like him. But I think that I agree with you. It started with the list of teams. When his agent, Mark Rogers, issued a correction to the Athletic article correcting two teams, and people thought, wait, so you don't want to request a trade, but these are the trades you would accept? No one wants to feel like someone wants out.
No.
Even if the marriage is getting salty and there are issues between both sides, no fan wants to feel like you're turning your back on them.
Yeah. How dare he leave us?
Yeah. So I think that it started there, but I saw a lot of... The Russell Wilson hate has been a fascinating... like, psychological thing to me. So, in fact, can I talk a little bit more about this next? No,
well, we've got
NFL
headlines.
Headlines. Oh, well, fine. We'll look around the rest of the league, and then we'll get back to some Russell Wilson stuff. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap.
Oh, man, Curtis, I think I've lost it today. I don't know what it is. I've had a lot of coffee.
You're snippy.
I didn't get a lot of sleep. I'm real snippy.
The show started with people telling me to calm down.
Oh, I'm not gonna. You want to tell me to calm down? I'll fight you now. I'm just fired up today.
Good.
Fired up. I'm ready to fight anyone.
Good.
Let's take a look around the NFL, shall we? This hour, Bump and Stacy. Curtis Rogerson for Michael Bumpus. Brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. The Jets hosted Dwayne Brown over the weekend. This came before left tackle Mekhi Becton left today's practice with an injury to his surgically repaired right knee.
I'm surprised that Dwayne Brown isn't looking to join a contender right now if the Jets are the most recent team to bring him in for a visit. I feel like it's almost an inevitability that Brown gets signed by the Jets, especially if Becton misses significant time. The left tackle position, the hardest to find starting caliber players. Brown has started, I think he's started in every game that he's appeared in the NFL, which is over 200. Like it makes a lot of sense that the Jets would go out and get Dwayne Brown. The problem is the Jets are a bad team. Like, I am not buying in on them as a team that's going to take a leap this season in year two with Zach Wilson at quarterback. I don't think Zach Wilson is particularly good.
Well, I think people think it because they look at the draft that they had and say, wow, what a great draft. But don't forget, it's possible to look and say, what a good draft. Those are highly rated rookies. And also say they're rookies entering into a league where they're in a tough division. Can you fight off the Dolphins, who just got Tyreek Hill and have a nice little receiver group? Can you fight off the Pats, who are always going to be competitive?
And most importantly, you're the fourth best team in your division.
Most importantly, you are
significant margin
in a division with a team that is favored to win a Super Bowl.
The AFC East, I mean, it is possible to get all four teams in your division into the playoffs now that seven teams make the postseason. I do not see the Jets as one of the seven best teams in the AFC. I don't see them as one of the 10 best teams in the AFC.
Ooh. Ooh, not even 10th in the AFC. No, I think you're right.
And I don't think that's a hot take by any stretch of the imagination.
It's so bad because it's like, poor Jets, but secondly...
Who do they have? They have nobody.
No one. You have Zach Wilson, who some people are convinced can still be that guy. You have
Garrett Wilson, a wide receiver who's a rookie.
A head coach who was a prominent defensive coordinator who people thought, oh, he can really get something done, but...
Yeah, Joe Douglas has made some good trades and has given them the draft capital needed to build out a good roster, but like... Sorry, the talent that they have chosen with all that, just it does not make me want to buy in on them at any stretch of the imagination. And plus, as we pointed out, their division is just ridiculously stacked at the top.
Yeah. All right, well, from one AFC team to another, Browns running back Kareem Hunt has requested a trade. Unfortunately for Kareem Hunt, the Browns said no.
It's like, that's cute.
Literally the other day, it was like, Kareem Hunt at practice, like, all right. Well, this is like when I threatened to run away. My parents were like, okay.
And you just go to the
all right. Well,
front
no,
yard.
What I did was...
you go live in the backyard for a couple
hours. I jumped out of my window. We were in a one-story Rambler. I jumped out of my bedroom window. I packed up a bag, jumped out of the window, walked up the street, and then waited for about 15 minutes. No one missed me. No one called the police. No one did anything.
And that, to you, was worse than anything that happened. No one...
Exactly. No one noticed I was gone.
Yeah.
So then I came back, and I was like, hello? Hello, like Angelina in Jersey Shore, coming back wondering where everyone was looking. No one was searching for me.
Poor Stacy.
It's devastating.
And one's searching for Kareem Hunt. No one's bending
no
over
one's
backwards.
Looking
to...
for him. He is me. Yeah. Me is him.
Boy. I mean, I feel like he's in a good situation in terms of running back, but like, yeah, that Cleveland organization over the last couple of years... They've won at a level that they've never done so before.
Yes, especially that playoff game over the Steelers.
They have mishandled nearly every sort of player personnel decision.
Yes.
They ran Odell Beckham Jr. out of town.
How about the Baker Mayfield thing?
Yeah.
Basically telling the rest of the league, we hate this guy. He's trash. Oh, does anyone want to give up a second rounder for him?
And then they go and trade for a guy that has 26 sexual assault allegations against him.
Right.
To be the quarterback. And they gave him a fully guaranteed contract worth over $200 million.
Yes.
Like, okay, make that make sense.
Kevin Clark has this really fascinating article for The Ringer that I read the other day. Kevin Clark, friend of the show. And he talked about how everyone can point their fingers at the Browns, and you can rightfully so do that with the Deshaun Watson signing, especially the way they structured his contract. But he was like, there were plenty of other, up to like, what, 12 teams that were reportedly rumored or linked at one point to Deshaun Watson. So being like, part of the story of Deshaun Watson is the story of the value of franchise quarterbacks and what we as fans, as football teams, as just an NFL world, what we are willing to compromise to find that person. Especially when he's exceptionally talented, as exceptionally talented as Deshaun Watson is. It's a great read. Highly recommend it. The Ringer. Kevin Clark on that one. Yeah, sorry, Kareem Hunt. You're still going to be backing up Nick Chubb. And you know what? If you wanted to be there, that's quite the 1-2 punch for Cleveland, and one they're going to need if they go with Jacoby Brissett. Sticking again with the AFC, let's go to the North. The Ravens and kicker Justin Tucker have agreed to a 4-year extension, keeping him as the highest paid kicker in NFL history, rightfully so. Justin Tucker, man,
he is good. And I believe he's a classically trained opera singer, too.
Excuse me?
Yeah. I think he's like a music major. Yeah, he was a music major at the University of Texas, and he can sing opera and also kick a football further than anybody on the planet ever has.
Yeah.
He set the NFL record last year, a 66-yard field goal to help the Ravens beat the Lions. I believe he kicked it to end regulation in order to win that game.
And then was lifted off the field. That's one of my favorite.
That's a deserving.
What are some of your guys's, what's one of your favorite things that happen in sports? Because mine is when someone who is either like a rookie, not really a celebrated dude, or like a kicker, right? A punter, a kicker wouldn't be a punter, but is like lifted up onto people's shoulders and celebrated. That was one of my favorite moments. I love those moments.
Yeah, that's a good one. I do like the walk-off home run celebration where a guy will toss his helmet into the air and then jump into the pile, meeting him at home plate.
Mm-hmm.
Get this, Justin Tucker's record-setting field goal last year, 66 yards, beat the previous record by 2 yards.
Dude.
Like, no one's ever hit a 65-yarder. He's hit a 66-yarder.
Is he the GOAT of all kickers?
Ever?
That's the thing that's tricky, because we know
regular
less about kickers.
I mean,
we can say Brady's the GOAT of all quarterbacks.
I would say, if you're going to rank kickers all time, I think Adam Vinatieri's number
one. You're taking not on wins, but purely on talent, are you taking Brady as your number one quarterback?
I'm taking Brady as my number one quarterback on any measure.
I think I'm taking peak Aaron Rodgers over Tom Brady.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is
you got to deal with ayahuasca. And you got to deal with healers and all that.
Oh God, what if
he just won MVP? How is that not peak Aaron Rodgers?
Maybe if Brady did ayahuasca, he'd be in there for another MVP as well.
I don't think Brady doing ayahuasca. He already does some weird stuff.
Tom Brady would never put anything in his body that wasn't part of the TB12 method, first of all, and secondly, wasn't lean protein. So, all right. I want to get back to our conversation about Russell Wilson. I just think it's a really interesting one. The text line was going off. I'll reintroduce it to you guys in a couple minutes. You're either going to hate it or you're going to love it. Either way, you're going to want to sound off about it. Also, Mariners reliever Paul Sewald joining us in 20 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, you guys. Mariners reliever Paul Sewald going to join us in just a couple minutes. Again, I'm just on one today. I'm going off the rails. I just got my fantasy football draft order for round one.
Oh,
guess who's
no.
number 11? Me.
But you get, I think, the second pick in the second round. Is it a 12-team league?
Yeah.
That's not terrible. It could be worse.
I'm ready to rage blackout, but sure, Curtis. I guess if you want to look at it rationally and not the way I've been looking at things today,
yeah.
That's fine. Okay.
I know.
I accept that.
We had somebody earlier in the show texting #calmdowncurtis calm down Curtis. And then they've responded.
#settledownstacy.
Yeah, #settledownstacy.
#settledownstacy.
The goal for the final hour, then, is to get Brady off the rails as well, where he is just coming unhinged.
You'd have to say something real bad for me to get like that.
With a B, what would his batten down the hatches, Brady?
Oh, I like that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe
Be quiet, Brady.
I like be quiet. Be quiet, Brady. No.
We'll keep it bump it down bones or something. You don't need to be
down
quiet.
Bones. Brady Bones. All right. Well, speaking of maybe some overreaction, someone was texting in earlier. We were talking about Russell Wilson. This, I didn't even plan on having this as a segment, but I do think that more people care about this than are willing to admit, and I think it's fascinating. Like, psychologically, I think it's a fascinating thing. So we're going to talk about it for like 5 minutes real quick, because whether or not you'll admit it, you care about it. Russell Wilson's relationship with Seattle, when it went wrong, who was in the wrong, and more importantly, why people feel the way they do about Russell Wilson now. It is the weirdest ending to a relationship I can think of in Seattle history, where it wasn't an obvious kind of like, A-Rod took more money to sign elsewhere after he thought he'd stay here. I get it. I totally get it.
Ken Griffey Jr. wanted to play closer to home.
Sure. Understand. Right? And that relationship between Griffey and the city remains sacred and special. And I don't know anyone who doesn't like Griffey. And if you don't, I don't like you. But with Russell Wilson, you get a mix of people saying, why are we talking about Russell Wilson? Move on. Because it's the biggest sports story to happen this calendar year in Seattle.
Yes.
Secondly, why do people hate Russell Wilson? I don't get it. Well, I think there's a lot of people that understandably were rubbed the wrong way by the way he handled things, or by feeling like he was inauthentic or whatever. And then thirdly, there's this other aspect to it with, I think, people not admitting to themselves that moving on from Russell Wilson on the field is harder than people are willing to admit. And yes.
That's acknowledging his talent.
That's the thing.
That's acknowledging what he meant to the Seahawks offensively.
Yes.
And what he meant over the last decade, because you just can't replicate his talent, flaws included. Like, yes, Russell Wilson was a tremendous quarterback, and yes, there were obvious flaws to his game that teams were able to exploit year in and year out. But I think in a perfect world, Russell Wilson is still a Seahawk, and the Seahawks are able to work with him, and they're able to mask those flaws better.
Mm-hmm.
But it got to a point where just both parties, I think, had just ran the gamut. They were like, all right, we're done. We're done with each other. There's no rectifying this. There's nothing that can be done to salvage what has damaged both parties over the last couple of years.
Having covered his career closely and who he is closely, I'm curious to see this version of Seattle. Like, I don't know that it was altogether a mistake to move on. I think it had gotten to a point where Seattle had so many holes on the roster and didn't have the weapons, the willingness, or a combination of both to play the way Russell Wilson did. And I'm not even fully convinced that the way Russell Wilson wants to play is the offense in which he is best suited. I don't know. We'll find out this year in Denver, right? Because he's basically having every weapon thrown his way and every bit of say thrown his way. He has full control over that offense.
Yeah.
So we'll see whether or not they could have succeeded with the version of Russell Wilson that he wanted to be. But here in Seattle, I think that I'm curious to see an era without Russell Wilson, how they move forward. It's just fascinating. But I also think people are jumping the gun and thinking that the problem is solved. The biggest obstacle, question, issue Seattle will have moving forward is how to replace Russell Wilson. And they have not done it yet. Like,
no.
This is, and further, no. Further, I still think this is a league where you need that quarterback. It sure is easy when he's not playing on a veteran contract. And it sure is easy when he's a rookie. But you need a talented quarterback.
Absolutely.
You cannot just have an average game manager. You know what that team is? It's the Tennessee Titans. And remind me, Curtis, the Tennessee Titans were the number one seed in the AFC. Did they win the Super Bowl?
They did not.
They didn't,
They didn't win a playoff game.
Why didn't they win a playoff game,
because
Curtis?
Because Ryan Tannehill threw three interceptions, including the one that sealed the game for Cincinnati.
Oh, my word. You're telling me it matters whether or not a quarterback is it an obstacle for you to overcome?
Hot take.
He can't be a risk for you.
How relieved are you that we're going to get the Seahawks-Broncos matchup out of the way in week one rather than
I'm
it being
looking
in the
forward
middle
to
of the season?
Oh, I'd almost rather it be in the middle of the season, because I want the defense to be really good against Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
Again, the way I look at it is, like, I do not think Russell Wilson is one of the five most talented quarterbacks in the NFL, even though Russell Wilson does. However, this offense is not objectively better without Russell Wilson. It is objectively worse. I have been watching this offense at training camp. People whose opinions I trust, who are very knowledgeable about the game, do not feel more confident without Russell Wilson. That being said, it does open up a world, one possibility, where you get someone who works and you find that guy and all of a sudden you're in this new era of Seahawks football and it's fascinating, right? Like, that's the area I hope they get to with that new young quarterback who works out and who is really exciting to watch. I've been so envious of teams with Josh Allen, with Patrick Mahomes, with Justin Herbert, with all these young guys in the AFC where you're thinking, oh, God, I wish the Seahawks were one of those teams with this young quarterback and you're trying to find a way to win with him because he's so special. The Seahawks haven't had that for a long time. But Drew and Geno aren't the answer right now. No disrespect to those two guys who are both serviceable quarterbacks in the NFL, but this year is about what the defense and run game can do and if you can have the foundation to find that guy. And I just think a lot of people conflate feeling understandably sour about Russell Wilson with feeling like this team is right now in a better place.
Yeah, which they're not. But that's not to say that they couldn't get there one day. But yeah, like we talked about, the toughest part for a lot of people in seeing what the Seahawks are right now is acknowledging the talent level of Russell Wilson because, look, a lot of people don't want to admit that he was a really good quarterback.
Also, real talk, was a good quarterback as a rookie. Like, yeah. I understand that the Legion of Boom is part of a big part of why you won that Super Bowl, but people look back at rookie Russell Wilson and write him off like he's Alex Smith.
Russell Wilson as a rookie should have won Rookie of the Year over RG3.
Please go back and watch even 2013 Russell Wilson highlights. I am telling you, like, I see so many people say game manager Russ, and it's like, no, that team was so exceptional in so many facets of the game. I don't know. I could talk about this endlessly because it's one of the more fascinating conversations you can have about football, in my mind, the most important pieces of a team. But we don't have time. We got to bring on Paul Sewald. He joins us next.